I will call the October 13th Common Council meeting to order. I'm sorry, 14th meeting to 21st to order. I know what day it is. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. We have a properly noticed meeting. First item on the agenda, item B1, citizens comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak? You know the drill. Name and address for the record, please.
Jill Erickson, 8016 South 60th Street. My husband and I have been at that residence for 12 years, and as such, we are very close to the quarry. We'd like to recommend that the council approve the reinstatement of Stantec Consulting as a third-party independent consultant to monitor the quarry. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak? And you of all people know the routine.
Margie Shore, 8046 South 60th. I got this letter Penny Donosky brought me over at 5 o'clock tonight. She wanted me to read this because she was unable to come. So after I read it, she's got 9 more copies, so I'll give you all a copy of it. Will you please read this note in my absence as I was unable to attend this Common Council meeting? Please read it aloud so that my voice will be heard and I will be represented at this meeting. The quarries need to be monitored at all times and for all possibilities of harm to any and all citizens that are affected around the quarries. The quarries pose a threat to people, property, and health. In so many ways, the quarries may affect the people that surround it. It affects peace of mind, property value, and damage to property from blasting, and dust and smoke pose a health threat from blasting and asphalt production. The quarries agreed to be monitored as per the PDD agreement. They also agreed to pay for it at least $40,000 per year. I would like Stantec to do the monitoring. They need to monitor blasting and air quality. The quarries make millions in a year in profits from stone products and asphalt, while residents that surround the quarries suffer ill health, insecurity in life through the debilitation of their property and its worth. I wholeheartedly suggest that the Common Council of Franklin members also reflect upon the fact that Rogue River Heights owners pay more in taxes per annum than the quarries. The quarries are a nuisance in every sense of the word. A nuisance is defined in Webster's Dictionary as anything offensive, injurious, vexatious, or annoying. And it's signed by Penny Donosky, resident of Root River Heights. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Donosky. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Don't you put me a different name.
Guy, my old friend, name and address for the record, please.
Guy Epperle is my name. And my address is 7306 South 48th Street. Of course, I live in Franklin. Would you guess that?
I've known that for years, Guy.
Okay. It's kind of nice to see old buddies here. I have to tell you, last week, I think it was Monday, we had 2 explosions that actually shook the house. This week, I heard 3 explosions, no damage, no shaking, nothing, just the noise. I don't know really what anybody's doing. I did call the quarry that day, last week, let them know that it was shaking. That's about all I have to say to tell you about it.
Thank you, Guy, and give your best to your wife for me, please.
I will.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Sir, ma'am, don't be bashful.
Conrad Gershewski, 6005 West Hillside Court. This is a whole new topic. A few years ago, a few years ago, the city made an arrangement with the quarry that they would expand their quarry business further out. I believe it was 800 feet from the center of Drexel to the line that they would cut. Do you remember that? Does anybody here remember that road? How was that being checked, and who checked it? When was it checked?
Mr. Deal?
The city regularly gets aerial photographs from the quarries. We've checked other aerial photographs, Google Earth, for instance. To the best of our knowledge and ability, it appears that they're still within the boundaries that were set forth in the PDD. I forget which is which, 650 feet from one of the streets and 850 feet from the other. They are getting close to that limit in a few locations.
To the best of your ability, excuse me, what do you mean by to the best of your ability?
Yes,
is that a true? Is that a true measurement, or is that just what you feel of this?
GIS.
Has anybody done any measurement?
Sir, please address the chair.
Okay. Okay. He talked for you.
I asked him to answer your question.
Okay. So is this a true measurement?
Yes.
It is a true measurement. You state that.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
No, Chris. Anyone else wishing to speak? Now, please. Or you take the mic. Mark.
You're missing important information on that question, Mayor. Thank you for not letting me speak.
Mills, and I live at 8018 West Winston Way, and I'd like to change the subject. I read in the paper that you were talking about bridges and the Economic Development Committee, and I think that was tabled. Was it? Am I correct? Okay. And I keep books on Franklin. I never thought I would have so many loose leaf binders when I started doing this. But when he was removed from the, well, he was removed from a bunch of committees. He was taken off. Let me find them all. Besides the Economic Development Committee, there were. There were three other committees that he sat on that he had to leave. And basically the city attorney told him, I have the article. These are articles from the paper that I have. And the city attorney told him that he needed to get off these committees because there was such a big conflict of interest that they couldn't overlook it anymore. And that, or he could sit on the committees and not vote on anything. So I think if someone sits on these committees and their conflict of interest is such that they don't have the good sense to get off the committees themselves, and the city attorney has to step in and say, you need to remove yourself from these committees because the conflict of interest is so over the top that thinking of putting him back on these committees just strikes me as a huge error. And there has to be somebody in the city that would be qualified and not have the kind of conflict of interest that he's had in the past and possibly would have in the future. I just can't believe he's the only person qualified for that job. And the fact that he wants to come back after basically being taken off the committee, three three committees. And the fact that he was sitting on three committees that he could control what went on in this community and might possibly profit from. And he isn't the only person. I mean, I have records on other people that sat on those committees, some of these committees that it appeared in the paper where there was a conflict of interest with those people too, and that they were allowed to sit on committees and make decisions that affected the taxpayers of the city, and they were also profiting from these decisions that they made.
Ma'am, be very careful.
Pardon?
Be very careful to state what you're
saying. There shouldn't be any sense of impropriety. When you sit on these committees, you need to have a real open book. And if you're running a business and then you're voting on all this stuff that with businesses in the city that are paying to do things, that doesn't look good. And I can't imagine there isn't somebody to sit on these committees that does not have that kind of conflict. And granted, they have expertise, but I think that the expertise they have also gets them in trouble because it puts them in a position to perhaps not act in the best interest of Franklin citizens. And there have been enough articles in the paper written by the Journal and now that, you know, just make you wonder how wise it was to appoint these men to these committees. And so I just wanted to make that statement and have the council think about that before you put Bridges back on any of these committees. I mean, that just seems inconceivable to me, considering his background. I'll volunteer to sit on these committees before. Because I don't have a business, I don't have a wife, I don't have a husband, I don't have children. There's no way that I could profit from any decision I made. I can't make a penny off of it. I'm sure there are people better qualified than I, but I'd rather see me sitting on that committee than somebody who possibly is making decisions that aren't really clean. And I think that as aldermen, women, as a mayor, that's a big responsibility to make sure that the people you appoint to these committees don't have any sense of impropriety going on there. And that hasn't been true in the past. So that's all.
Thank you very much. Mr. City Attorney. There was a characterization of the correspondence between you and Mr. Bridges.
Oh.
And please use your mic.
That was upon a request under statute for advisory opinion under section 19.59 of the Wisconsin statutes, which is the ethics provisions statute for local public officials. And without reading it into the record, it was dated July 25, 2008, it's a public record. Part of that was Mr. Grinch's at the time under the statute consented to public disclosure of it, did not require, as the statute allows, that it remain private, and it discusses all the potential conflicts under the various rules, regulations, and the statute, as well as a concurring opinion from the ethics lawyer for the Government Accountability Board. And the bottom line was two choices. One was to abstain on any matters which arose where there might be a conflict of interest, or resignation across the board. There was no straight direction that resignation was required.
And who requested that opinion?
Mr. Grinches.
Mr. Lewandowski. You know the routine.
Aaron Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I'm still interested in somebody coming up with a budget for the audio system, because this is so ancient, and we have 24 speakers in the next room, and we only have 4 speakers here, and I can't understand why we can hold all of important business in this city in a room that's not adequately having a decent audio system. I have other issues in that. On E1, it looks like you are trying to appoint Glenn E. Morrow as city engineer. I feel that Dave Murphy, I read his resume, and I feel that he's more qualified for this type of area. He's more familiar with the state, county, and I wish that somebody would think this over before we go ahead and vote on somebody that came from southern Indiana that's new, not too familiar with the winter conditions that we have out here. And we do really need somebody to direct the DPW. We got problems down there. I also want to add my comments to the Economic Development Commission. I really don't understand why we're putting Theodore Grinchigan back on there. He was part of the Franklin Citizen Responsible Leadership issue. That organization was closed down by the DA because of violations. I don't know why we still put this guy back on things like that. He don't belong there as far as I'm concerned. Also, I wish you would vote for the quarry monitoring system. And what you got, Joel here just mentioned something about the maps and all that. Well, so far, they have not held up their end of getting 2 reports and 2 maps as per the PDD 23. They call those berms, or those hills, berms, and they're really 60-foot hills, and I can't see why we can change. And we still are measuring from the center of the road. We should be measuring from the section line. Even Mr. Bennett said that. So we go on, and I guess that's about all for what I've got to say tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Anyone else wish to speak? Mr. Bolton, you too know the procedure.
Curtis Bolton, 8035 West Imperial Drive. I think one of the most important attributes city government can have is transparency. I think that's helpful to the citizens as well as to the members of the Common Council. I've attended a number of Common Council meetings. A lot of the discussions are about economic development, and it's not clear to me, and maybe it's clear to you, just what the costs are of different types of economic development. I think it'd be a lot easier for council members to make decisions on that if they actually knew how the expenditures that the city has is related to the type of development that the city has. On the other side, on the expenditure side, I think there's a need for better transparency as well. I've tried for a number of weeks now to find out, you know, the exact breakdown of the debt that is owed by the city of Franklin, which means the debt that I am paying and you're paying and all the neighbors are paying. Sort of goes to one of the items on the agenda tonight, where you'll be voting on a promissory note, but it doesn't really say what it's for. I think it's important that citizens know, you know, when their money is being spent, what it's being spent on. If you want to look at the expenditure side as well, I have no idea how the city compares with other communities and how they spend taxpayers' money. It would be sort of nice to know that, and I know in the budget document they do talk about ways of measuring things in ways that they can compare with other municipalities, but I don't see any comparison with other municipalities. And it seems to me that this information is available, and it would be helpful so that both Common Council and the citizens know how they stand with other communities in southeastern Wisconsin and Milwaukee County. Other expenditures are, you know, if somebody's job position changes, is that going to change any compensation? I don't hear a lot of talk about expenditures. I always hear more talk about, revenue. And so I guess I would like a little bit more information about how we do come up with salaries, whether they're reasonable, you know, compared with other communities. I know we're not all the same. Everybody's got different job descriptions within each community. But it would be interesting to know how we're working on the expenditure end as well as the revenue end to try and keep, you know, taxes at a reasonable rate. So thank you very much.
As it relates to your request for our debt service, send me an email what you want. There's
I've been talking with Paul here.
Paul, okay.
I'm sure he's very busy.
I know he's we're in the middle busy. Of budget cycle, but he's the man. So if you let me know if you've got an issue there. Relative to compensation, we're just starting on a citywide class and comp study that will look at other communities and a little bit in private sector. So we're on our way with that.
Thank you,
Mr. Fulton. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing no one, I'll close the citizens' comment period. Thank you very much for your comments. In your packet, there item C, approval of the regular meeting minutes of October 7th, Alderwoman Evans. No?
Approved to approve.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item D, there is no hearings. Item E, organizational business appointments. Item 1, I'm proud to present to you my appointment of Glenn E. Morrow, P.E., as the city engineer and director of public works. Glenn, please come on up and join us. Ask Mr. Liberta, wherever you'd like. Mr. Liberta, do a little presentation and then...
In your packet is a council action sheet that addresses the process that the city went through. As you recall, the Common Council authorized hiring an independent consulting firm to help search for candidates nationwide. We received over 35 candidates for the position. Consulted, narrowed that down to 19. That were then narrowed down further to an initial interview group and then a group of three finalists that participated in a second interview. Through that process, Glenn stood out as a qualified person that met the job description and expectations that the Common Council adopted after review shortly after or around the time of Jack's retirement. One of the things that stood out is his experience both as a municipal engineer with current licensing in three different states, as well as a lot of work on utility. He was city engineer for the city of Greencastle from 2000 to 2007, and since 2007 he's been a senior project manager for the utility infrastructure sector at Burgess and Nipple, an engineering consulting firm in Indianapolis. And so the interview process, I thought, went very successfully and identified the some of the qualities and information that the mayor was looking for in an appointment. And to make the confirmation in your packet is resolution that could be adopted, and it addresses some of the specific conditions of the appointment and is in a standard form as was used with prior appointments, like when Paul was done, it was confirmed by resolution.
Now, Mr. Morrow has gone through several background checks. Frankly, he went through one that I'm not sure anybody in this room would survive, but very successfully. Excellent report.
Good yeah, thorough job.
It was a thorough job. Alderman Wilhelm.
Will we be seeing the employee contract? Will it
come before? That's what you have before you. There is no contract.
Just that will. So we don't have one like Mr. Liberta.
Mr. Liberta.
Yeah, there is no contract. As it states in the resolution, he will serve in accordance with the employee handbook and the policies established by the Common Council, except for those four items.
I saw those
items. Noted.
Yeah.
Other than that,
no additional documents that
nope.
be approved by us.
And as an officer confirmed, it's important to note that it's not at will and that your ordinance book indicates which officers, and so he It's as an indefinite appointment subject to removal by the Common Council with a two-thirds majority, I believe the Ordinance 551 says. So it's not strict at will, as you might think an incoming mayor, you know, is able to terminate someone.
But we don't go into these appointments with the idea of how to get out of them.
I hope not.
The resume starts on page 2. Is there page 1 to that resume?
The page 1, as it printed out, was actually just the cover letter that went to the consultant. So the resume itself, this is the whole document.
Alderman Levin.
Welcome to Franklin.
Thank you.
Did you work directly with the Common Council in Greencastle?
I did. Actually worked for the mayor. But I worked very close with the city council. I was there at every meeting, knew all five of them very well, and they called me a lot on various issues, and I worked with them on a variety of issues. So.
Thank you.
Sure.
Alderman Mayor, then Alderman Schmidt.
Again, welcome to Franklin. Just
thank you very much.
Just a brief explanation why you were at the municipal level at Greencastle, and why you went to the private sector, and why you're wanting to come back to the municipal.
Okay. I guess situation... The city I worked for, the mayor was not looking to. She announced that she was not going to run for re-election again, and some of the folks that were seeking that office thought that the city could do without an engineering department. So decided it was time to test out the resume. Been a consultant prior to that. Went back to the consulting, enjoyed it, but to be honest, the city job was my favorite job I've ever had, and I was looking to get back to that environment. So,
thank you.
Sure.
Alderman Schmidt.
Yes, welcome to Franklin.
Thank you very much.
Curious, have you had a chance to survey the city of Franklin or travel to see much of the different parts of our 34 square miles that we cover? And
I have been given a few tours, and it's a very nice community.
So you're prepared to deal with all the different street issues and things that we have ahead of us.
You've got several streets.
Busy time.
Thank you.
Action on this item? Any other discussion?
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Discussion? See none. All those in favor, signify. I'm sorry. Roll call. Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wellhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evers.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
We have a new city engineer. Congratulations.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would suggest, does he have any kind of clause that after he sits through his first initial council meeting, he might change his mind?
Let's take 5 minutes so the council can say a little bit more. 5 minutes. Back in open session. Item E1, tabled from the last meeting, my appointment of Ted Grinches to the Economic Development Commission. Term expiring 6/30/16. Council expressed an interest in having Mr. Grinch before them to answer some questions. He is here. If he consents to doing that, I'd be happy for that. But I got to caution the Common Council. Some accusations have been placed on the record that are, one, unfounded, and two, could be considered libels. Excuse me, slanders. And it reflected into the community. We heard it this evening. Mr. Grinch, do you want to join us or no?
Ted Grinches, 7562 South Nottingham Way, Franklin, Wisconsin.
Go ahead.
Is it okay if I make a brief statement in a few minutes? All right. The last council meeting, my nomination for the EDC and the CDA was considered and voted down. And I would like to thank Alderman D'Andrea and Mayor and Evans for the confidence they placed in me, and hopefully we can clarify some more things as we go on today. The issue became my resignation in 2008 from the 27th Street Steering Committee, EDC, and the CDA. I couldn't be at this meeting, and therefore I couldn't explain the reasons why that occurred. Willing to do that in my statement. I'd like to just briefly go over my background, or really our, my wife and my background. My wife and I and our two children came to Franklin in 1973. We wanted to get involved in the community and did. My wife became a teacher and taught in Franklin for over 30 years. She also ran for mayor in the either late 80s or 1990. In that process, she also got me involved. She served on the Plan Commission for 12 years. I was honored to be able to join the Economic Development Commission, the CDA, served on the Finance Committee and the 27th Street Steering Committee, off and on at various times over a period of about 20 years. I served with some of the finest men and women that I know in this community for that period, the most capable people that I have met. Not many of the members served as long as I did, but a core group did, and we produced some very significant economic development results with the economic development, financing, and marketing tools that were available to us. I'm proud to say we finished the industrial park phase two. We conceived and implemented the business park. We laid out a long-term economic development plans for the city, some of that is still followed today. And we planned a very unique and specific program for the 27th Street corridor. Results speak for themselves. The industrial park phase two is finished. Business park is finished. On 27th Street specifically, Northwestern Mutual, Wheaton Franciscan, the State Bridge Hotel added somewhere around $400 million of additional tax base to the community. And at the current tax rate of about 2.6%, that adds somewhere around $10 million to the five taxing authorities in the city of Franklin, one-third of which, $3.3 million, is now going to the city. And if you look at where we are today, since 2008, with the exception of a development here and there, no continued organized economic development activity of the scope and size that we are involved in has occurred since. But the plans were always in place for that, and the opportunities were always in place for it. And many of our neighbors happily continue to go on with their plans. After last election, Mr. Olson asked if I would be interested in serving again, and with the objective of agreeing to transfer my knowledge, my expertise, my skills to council members, new and existing members of the committees, also staff as needed, and a new director of economic development if and when hired. And I said I would consider that to the mayor. I have the knowledge, I have the skills, I have the expertise and the proven experience and results to do that. Now let's talk about today. I received a call from Alderwoman Wilhelm last week, and in this conversation it became clear to me that she did not want me to join the commission and would question my integrity and ethics if I did join, because my wife is a real estate agent. She wanted me to offer advice as a citizen to the committees, but not as a member. And I was livid. I mean, I was furious. And that's putting it mildly, because in the past 25 years, I have been nominated and renominated by Mayors Clements, Murray, Taylor, worked with many of you, including Mayor Olson, and never was my integrity or ethics questioned. And my record is impeccable, despite what some members of the audience think. In 2008, my wife lifted a property on 27th Street, and that became to me an issue, in addition to already a controversy that was going on. That time, I was chairman of the 27th Street Steering Committee, and we were involved in the controversy around the proposed name for the 27th Street Corridor. That did not go well. Also, prices of available and redevelopable land in the corridor was going through the roof at the time, and I did not need to add more controversy with the potential conflict of interest charges as the results of my wife's potential real estate and transaction and its associated commission. So I went to the city attorney, asked for his opinion, after which I thought it was prudent to step down voluntarily for the time being to make it easier to resolve the naming issue and not add the chance of further controversy to projects for both cities. Both the mayors of Oak Creek and Franklin at the time asked me to stay on. I did not. Today, the market has normalized properties on and of prices on 27th Street. The naming issue is gone, and under normal circumstances, I would recuse myself at any appearance of potential conflict, but not anymore. Now that Alderwoman Wilhelm is redefining what a conflict of interest is, what is ethical and not, questions my integrity and ethics, I can't imagine myself, or for that matter, any volunteer serving under these yet-to-be-defined ethics standards. And I assume that what she told me applies to all, and there are a number of people that are on the council and on commissions who have either themselves or have spouses that have potential application for conflict of interest as well. And in view of that, I don't want to contribute to any more controversies or, you know, the kind of things that one of the citizens was talking about and let spurious accusations be leveled at me or my wife, or for that matter, at the city by either Alderman Willem or surrogates. Common Council, in my opinion, needs to clarify what the ethics code of the city is and whether or not a volunteer recusing him or herself voluntarily from participating in issues that may affect them financially is adequate enough for volunteers to be able to defend themselves against accusations of ethics violations. And as far as I'm concerned, Alderman Willem has set the bar to serve the city very high, and volunteers are, in my opinion, on shaky grounds and will not be able themselves defend themselves from spurious allegations. And until that is settled, to my satisfaction, I will not volunteer to be on any city committee.
So, Mr. Grinch, is you're withdrawing your application?
Correct.
Mayor Wilson?
I have a statement to make prior to recognizing you. This is a very sad moment for the city. We've got a gentleman who's given more than 22 years of in service to this community. And based on politics, we've now damaged his reputation, potentially impacted his wife's business and her reputation for politics. We've now set, Alderman Wilhelm, Alderman Mayor, Alderman Schmidt have now set a bar that I must recognize in future appointments. I must recognize that now in reappointments. That includes members of the Economic Development Commission. Mr. Dandry can't serve on the Community Development Authority. He's a banker. He deals with commercial interests. The chairman of Economic Development talks to every developer in the area. He can't serve with this standard. I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed. on politics. Alderman Wilhelm.
I'm glad to be able to set the record straight. I called Mr. Grinches to ask him what changed since his resignation. I was polite, I was professional, and I in no way stated an opinion on what my clear thoughts on how I would vote on him or how I felt he should not be on the committee. And I was going to sit here and not say anything and listen to him and give him the benefit of the doubt on the different things that, like the citizen who spoke about the things in the paper. But when someone comes up here and tries to discredit me for something I didn't say, my vote would have then turned into an absolute no. This isn't the only thing, Mayor, that's based on politics. The removal of the other two committee members at the last agenda because you didn't get the person you wanted and then not bring two credible people forward and putting one person on the agenda in case you got your way or didn't, you wouldn't bring the other ones back. That's politics. If Mr. Grinches wants to be your personal advisor, he certainly can be. I talked to him about the possibility of having an advising position on the committee so he could still be part of it. And I'm extremely disappointed in how he's portrayed me here tonight, which was never my intention, and I would not have acted in that manner.
Alderman Schmidt.
I have to concur. Talk about politics, the withdrawal of nominees of Bruce Kineski and Michael Soto for potential appointment, reappointment to the Economic Development Commission also has the air of political retribution, and it just does not serve the interests of the Franklin residents. So I don't know. I'm just very upset with the way things are headed.
There's a simple answer to that. Mr. Kineski does not qualify under the current level of scrutiny that three aldermen have applied. He works for a competing municipality. Any information he gathered here could easily be transferred to that municipality. I can't appoint him. I'm not going to insult him. Mr. Soto happens to be a continuing member. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I think we should move on.
Thank you, Mr. Grinch.
Thank you.
Mr. Kineski was your nomination up until Mr. Grinch's wasn't. Now all of a sudden he has a conflict of interest, but you had put him forward and then pulled him off.
Absolutely correct.
So,
absolutely correct.
I'm going to suggest we move on to the next item of business.
Absolutely correct that I produced Mr. Kineski for a reappointment, as well as Mr. Grinch's and Mr. Soto. All three of them are eminently qualified and have no ethical issues as far as I'm concerned. It was the standard that set for Mr. Grinch's that caused them to have problems. Period. Item G1. I thank Mr. Zimmerman for a $500 donation to the Franklin Police Department. Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. Is there a motion to accept?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Item 2, Quarry Reclamation Plan Update. Mr. Deal.
Good evening. Materials in your packet provide a brief summary of the reclamation plan, its purpose, a little bit of history, and some recommendations from the Quarry Monitoring Committee to keep it everything brief, and you can ask me whatever questions you wish. The quarry, the PDDs for the quarry, both PDD 23 and PDD 24, require a reclamation plan. Those other ordinances that I reference in the documents do as well. The history notes that that PDD, the reclamation plan, was prepared by the quarry, but was not adopted by the city. The DNR had recently done, earlier this year, or late last year, an audit of our reclamation program and noted and recommended that we get that reclamation plan adopted by the Common Council. The Quarry Monitoring Committee is recommending that as well. In their motion, there's a motion at the end of the staff council action sheet that mentions notifying Payne and Dolan to undertake that effort and establishing a date for when it to be completed. So that summarizes the matter pretty briefly if you have any questions. In a related matter as well, also related from that DNR audit, as well as a recommendation from the Quarry Monitoring Committee, is the discussion and a motion from the committee about updating the quarry reclamation ordinance that the city has. That ordinance is patterned on a model ordinance that the state required. That model ordinance was updated by the state in 2006. There have been some changes that would apply to our ordinance, and the DNR is asking us to update that. Staff is agreeing to do that. The city attorney was hoping to be able to work on it as soon as possible.
What is the anticipated date of the closeout of the quarry?
They've never, to my recollection, given us a definitive date. They're not sure. I've heard dates bandied about, but nothing from them.
Question. Two motions in the packet. Alderman Wilhelm.
One of the motions in the packet talks about the reclamation plan and the date, and then I had added a note about financial assurance, which is one of the things that the DNR recommends, but it wasn't in the motion. Should we maybe include that, because that's part of something that they're required to do?
Mr. Deal.
We could. It's also required by ordinance. It's specifically that the financial assurance shall be periodically reviewed. It was my assumption that because it was addressed in the first reclamation plan, it would be addressed again in this one as well. But that was my assumption.
Alderman Evans.
Is it possible to set a definitive date on when the reclamation plan can be completed, or does it have to be an estimated date?
If you're asking me, I would put an estimated date or something with an understanding that if they come back and say they can't make it, they give some good reasons, valid reasons, we could extend it further. They'll be able to use, and both our ordinance and the DNR's model ordinance both recognize that when you update a plan like this, you try to use whatever previous data still applies. So it's not like they would have to do this from scratch. But the ordinance does require some additional things. The model ordinance does require some additional information that wasn't in the first plan. So it'd be hard to pinpoint the definitive date that they would need that by. So I would think it would be reasonable to set a date, either flexible or with an understanding that they can come back and ask for additional time if they can explain why. And depending how tight that frame and time frame is, and I don't have a good guess.
Alderman Dandridge.
Mr. Deedle, do we have processes in place to make sure that we're following through with our the agreement that we have between the quarry and the city?
In general, yes. I would say that by that current process, and that includes the Quarry Monitoring Committee, that's why we're finding these things.
Okay. So you're saying that the lapses that had occurred in the past
are unlikely to happen again.
Okay. Thank you.
Action regarding this item? Alderman Wellham.
Let's see.
I was expecting that 5 minutes ago.
Make sure everyone gets their questions answered.
Yep.
That's what we're here for. Since it's not actually a motion here, I kind of have to make it as I go along. So it's a motion that the Common Council notify Payne and Dolan of the need for updating the reclamation plan as recommended by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and that the reclamation plan date be set for? What is the DNR looking for this by? What date do you think?
They've had no definitive date either. It's the ordinance that they would like done as soon as possible, okay. But they've never given a date
on this. So do you think 6 months is reasonable?
Oh, yes.
Is that okay with the council? So I'll insert 6 months, and you're saying the financial assurance, I don't need to add that because it'll be covered in the ordinance. Okay, so
and if for some reason it's not, staff's report would bring that to everyone's attention immediately.
Okay, so I end at 6 months.
A second.
All right, on the first motion, motion to notify Payne and Dolan and ask them for 4 to 6 months. Mr. City Attorney.
That just pertains to the reclamation plan.
Correct.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Alderman Wilhelm.
A motion that the Common Council provide direction to staff and the Quarry Monitoring Committee in regard to the city's non-metallic mining reclamation ordinance on using the DNR model ordinance and inserting the appropriate city language.
Time frame?
Second.
Time frame.
Debbie Worthy.
Should be able to get it done before then.
Joel?
All I would say is currently with or before the plan?
Before the recommendation plan.
February. What is the date?
Let's set no later than January 1st.
Motion on the table to do the ordinance no later than January 1st. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. I'm sorry, I dropped right past item F, memorandum from the planning staff regarding the economic development concept, the WEDA conference. It's in your packet. No action needed. Any questions?
No, thank you for that.
All right, go back to G3, professional services agreement between the City of Franklin and Stantec. All doing well.
Because the original contract that was in the council packet sent to the clerk was a draft expecting that staff would finish that up, and then it came forward as a clean with the attachment as the consultant wanted. The motion needs to be slightly revised, and I did send that motion to myself. I typed
well,
it up last
kinda
night.
Need to hear it.
I know, and I did have it pulled up, but second. I'll just take one second. Anyone else has any questions while you're reading? Okay. A motion to approve the Quarry Monitoring Professional Service Agreement with Attachment A containing service details and costs provided by Stantec Consulting, Inc. and authorize staff to enter into said agreement not to exceed $42,000 subject to minor corrections as determined by the city attorney.
Second.
Discussion? Alderman Evans.
I have a question on page 37. It's down under quarry operations monitoring. It says operational issues that may affect local citizens in some form of adverse off-site impact. What would those be? An example of what those would be. Page 37 at the bottom. Next to the last sentence, it says operational issues that may affect local citizens in some form of adverse off-site impact.
Joel, did he discuss that with you? I think it was just a carryover from the last contract.
My copy doesn't have those numbers on it.
Mr. D, it's the first page of the attachment, first bullet, for the second sub-bullet.
Services.
Mr. Liberta.
Although it's been a couple of years since I looked at it, I believe that was intended to be open-ended language, that if they saw something there, they could comment on it. So it could be anything from internal practices that are causing more dust to even not treating their their explosives correctly. So it was just a broad open that I believe when they're doing their inspections, if they see something that could have an impact, we expect them to say it, not later say, I'm only supposed to report on these three things. So I believe that was that open-ended language to identify.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And Attorney Speckhart got here just in time. Don Gunderson got here, sorry. I just saw this vision. Authorization to engage Quarles and Brady as bond counsel for an offering of $5.345 million city GO bonds. Mr. Rotzberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. By way of preference for the Common Council, later in your agenda this evening, you'll be considering an item related to the 27th Street road project that is scheduled by the state next year, and some costs associated under that project with varying overhead utilities. That particular project is a project which is occurring inside of our tax incremental financing district number 3. And that district anticipated a borrowing in the summer of 2015 to finance all of those project costs. Now that one of the contractors has caused us to rethink the cash flow necessary for that project, we are recommending through a series of agenda items this evening the advancement of that TID 3 borrowing to coincide with the borrowing that is being contemplated for December of this year. In connection with that, Quarles and Brady has provided us a revised agreement to serve as bond counsel in association with that offering, and that is the item before you at this point in time.
Question, motion, or regard? Mr. Dan, Alderman Dan.
Paul, since there were some questions asked in the comment period, why don't we break down that request of the $5.345 million?
Don Gunderson from our financial advisor Ellers and Associates is here, and I'll hand the response on that to her.
Thank you. You can hear me okay. Last month I was here and we took consideration and action for a financing, a promissory note issue to take place to pay for your capital projects. We actually had two agenda items, one for a water utility project, one for the capital projects, for $2 million. And subsequent to that time, as Mr. Rosenberg had mentioned, is the timing and the need for financing the TIF 3 funds have come along. That amount for that project is about $3,285,000. It was laid out in our long-range plan to take place in 2015. What we've done now is we've brought dollars for that project forward, incorporated it into the promissory note, so we've increased the issue from the $2 million to the $5,345,000. So it now will finance both your 2015 capital projects, or 2014, excuse me, capital projects, as well as the projects associated with tax increment district number 3.
So your recommendation is still a note, which
it's
would
still
be a shorter term.
Note. Okay. It's still the structure for the payment on the capital projects has remained the same. We've just added the amount for the TID projects, and it'd be amortized over 3 years to coincide with the cash flow from the TID district. So it doesn't extend the length of the district. It just actually increases the maturity for the first few years with that higher payment for the TID.
Okay. Thank you.
Just to give a little more clarity, G9 made this come forward. I'm not calling G9 just yet, but that's what made this happen. So Alderwoman Evans.
I'll make a motion to authorize the engagement of Quarles and Brady LLP as bond counsel for $5,345,000 City of Franklin General Obligation Promissory Note Series 2014A.
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. By the way, that replaces the motion made last meeting. Item G5, resolution providing for the sale of $5.345 million GO bonds. Mr. Rosenberg or Ms. Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is the resolution that will replace the resolution and rescind the resolution that was adopted at your late September meeting, authorizing the notes, $5,345,000 worth of notes that was previously discussed. Included in your packet is a revised pre-sale report from Ehlers that describes these notes in some additional detail. I don't know the page numbers in your packet on that, but it would be concomitant with your council action item number G5.
Con what?
Coincides with.
Questions, actions on this item?
I'm just wondering what are the
Mayor.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. What are the additional expenses that are necessary if we're a month later asking for 5.3 from 2?
The tax incremental financing district number 3 anticipated a $3.3 million debt offering in 2015. That offering would be paying for costs associated with a series of projects in 2015. I'm trying to see if those have been outlined. Two, three projects that
are
listed.
They're on page, on the spreadsheet on page.
Well, I don't have
following page 4 of the Ehlers document.
Well, I don't have that particular budget and project costs in front of me. By recollection, there were three major items on that particular project. One was the burying of overhead utilities that was ranging about $1.9 million. The second item in those project costs were streetscaping activities, approximately $400,000 to $600,000. Again, I don't have the numbers immediately in front of me. And then there was a sidewalk project, which when it was originally contemplated might have had a cost as high as another $250,000. That subsequently has been reduced by Common Council action to a narrower sidewalk. In addition, there were some streetlight project costs that the city agreed with the state would be paid for when the 27th Street project was completed, and that was a $500,000 project. You're putting all of those together, and that's what this particular borrowing was for.
Page 103 is the document, but it's not in this agenda item. Motion regarding this?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution providing for the sale of approximately $5,345,000 of general obligation promissory notes series 2014A.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I heard a weird noise over there. Sorry about that. Motion carries 6-0. Let's move now, just for convenience sake, to G9. Resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement, a We Energy's South relocation to bury the power lines at 27th Street. This action previously taken by the former Common Council with some action here by Alderman Schmidt and Alderman Mayer, Dan Mayer. The Wisconsin Electric sent me a letter, said please pay us $948,000 tomorrow. And I said, what? So they need this, they need payment in order to do the work, in order for the South 27th Street reconstruction to begin happening. The DOT is pushing to have that started first of the year. So they need to have this done by January 1, which means they need to be paid. Alderman Evans.
Motion to adopt a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute a We Energy South 27th Street electric relocation, Wisconsin DOT project ID 2265-16-70 letter agreement with the City of Franklin to terms to proceed and payments to be made for the cost to vary electrical circuits, Wisconsin College Avenue to West Drexel Avenue.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Let's go back to G6, recommendation from the Board of Water Commissioners and the Director of Finance, that being Paul Ratzenberg, to approve a contract with ISI Water for water loss study. Mr. Ratzenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Earlier this evening, the Board
of Water... pay attention. This is yours. I can say that now. He's an employee. Almost an employee. Go ahead, Paul. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Earlier this evening, the Board of Water Commissioners voted to recommend to the Common Council the approval of this particular agreement. As outlined in the action item before you, the water utility has been experiencing a fair amount of water loss, that being defined as water purchased from our supplier that is not then subsequently billed to customers. That has ranged, I believe, 14% up to something greater than 15%. Most recently, the Public Service Commission has taken note of the fact that the water loss ratio has exceeded 15% and made inquiries of the Franklin Water Utility as to action items that the utility plans on taking to mitigate that. One of the steps and actions which the Board of Water Commissioners has asked is that we review our billing records to see that water is being properly billed to all of the customers. To that effect, we've located this particular company, ISI Water Commissioners, Water Company, which would come in and take a review of city billing, water billing records, and to the extent that they can identify customers who are not properly being billed, and staff agrees that those customers are not being properly billed, we would then agree to provide a finder's fee to that company equal to 60% of the increase in water, the utility retaining 40% of that for a period of 3 years. If this company locates no unbilled water, they get paid nothing. If they find some water that's not being billed, then both parties benefit, with the bigger share in the first 36 months going to this utility, to this company, and then after that point in time, all of the benefit going to the water utility.
And the we you mentioned is not us, it is the water utility, correct?
I apologize, it is the water utility.
Mr. City Attorney.
Only that there's materials in the packet. Frankly, the department has been catching organic questions of late, probably because there's been no water utility manager who had been here. Utility was created circa 1977. One of those was, does the council have to approve all contracts? And I just basically iterated what I heard through all the years from the utility manager. And once or twice I looked at it, and those were easy. It comes to the common council because it's city property, such as water towers and the like. The city is the owner. And number two, where there's borrowing. Check the local ordinances. Review the statutes. It's rather went to the league for a summary approach. All of that material is in the back. The bottom line is technically this contract does not need to be before the council. My concern was I heard from staff that all contracts came to the common council after this was done. I heard some little bit of a change that no, they don't. So two instances where water utility contracts come before the common council. Number one, when it's city property. Number two, under the local ordinance, is when there's public borrowing, which becomes an obligation of the city. And the third practical consideration from staff, and some would say it's over-concern or overkill, but what I heard about the past practice, this is a unique situation to me in life where government, number one, for some reason is not collecting for all water from the utility that's accounted for on the paying end by the city utility. And then number two, it's a commission based upon what's found, and it's 60%. So just thought it ought to come before the council.
Alderman Wilhelm, then then Alderman Evans.
I guess I was going to make a motion. The city attorney, would you like us just to confirm this by a motion?
No, I just wanted the common council to be aware that certain contracts involving the water utility don't need to be here.
It sounded like you said, you know, we still could just agree with it or something, and I was agreeing with it because this has been long awaited, and I'm glad we're going to try to figure out the solution.
The water commissioners asked us to approve it.
And, well, it doesn't have to be because that's the singular approval, but the concern from staff was that the council understands there will be contracts absent a city borrowing or absent city property. That will not come to the common council.
Well, short from this, no one would know about it unless you went to the meeting, because I've been at the meetings, and so I've known about this for a while. I was wondering when it was going to get resolved.
Alderman Evans?
Well, I have two questions, one related to the contract. But the first question is, why did the Board of Water Commissioners wait until the PSC raised the concerns about the water loss? I mean, we have these dates that, you know, go all the way back to 2006.
Mr. Romeis.
The Water Commission over the years has, you know, looked at water loss and with concerns. Recently, about the first of the year, we took it a little more seriously in terms of actually taking action on it, and actually developed a three-prong approach, you know, this being one of them, in the field look, and then an accountability of overall water use. And that was done before we got the letter from Public Service Commission. So it was easy to respond to Public Service Commission by saying, we agree, and actually we're taking action. So.
Thanks. And the other question, you said three-pronged. I thought I read five-pronged. I don't know how many prongs it is, but the ISI Water Company, I read all the services they provide. Mm-hmm. One of your prongs is it camphor?
Yes.
Okay. I think it would be doubling the services if you continue with them, wouldn't it? Would it not?
No, actually, this will be unique. The camphor approach is actually an in-the-field approach where we do, sounds a little bit strange, but it is correct, a late-night monitoring of water use. You know, it shouldn't be water use late at night, but we will actually be doing a metering of selected areas, you know, where we suspect, you know, the potential exists. So that'll actually be a physical in the field study. This is a billing look, and the other is just an in-house look at water use by all affected, you know, fire department, sprinkler systems, that type of thing. So by our utility, those are the three looks.
Thank you.
Alderman Mayer.
I guess I just have a question regarding, you know, why this is coming to us now, close to 10 years later, when we're having these high unbilled percentages. What PSI comes to us, or PSC comes to us and says something, and we automatically agree with them because we've noticed this going on for a long time, but why wouldn't we have done?
Sure.
Why wouldn't you have contacted them? I don't understand the process.
Mr. Oxford.
One of the reasons that this is coming to you at this point in time is earlier this year, we didn't know that this service was even available in the marketplace. Two, earlier this year, I attended one of the Government Finance Officers Association annual conference, and this company was exhibiting at that conference, enumerating their available services. We did call and check on references, and they've noted that they provide these services principally in the states of Texas, Louisiana, and Florida currently, where they have provided their service, and they gave us a list of all of their particular clients, customers. They noted the amount of water that they were able to locate through billing records that was not being adequately billed. And that impressed us to the point where we decided to investigate by talking to other customers as to what's going on, and felt that because there's no risk to us by way of out-of-pocket costs, it was an opportunity for us to potentially have someone come in and take a look at those records and identify some of the potential water loss that we're experiencing.
What kind of things cause unbilled?
Actually, staff noted earlier this year or late last year, a meter, again, I'm a finance person, but a meter doesn't just measure gallon for gallon that's going through. Sometimes the meters will have a factor, so it'll do a measurement, and then that measurement may not be each gallon, but might be each every 10 gallons or every 100 gallons. We had in our billing records the wrong factor for some meters and identified a handful of customers who were being billed for less than 100% of the water that they were using because we had the wrong factor for that particular meter in our records. And we're hoping that staff went back and surveyed all of the customers who are using those types of meters to make sure that we had all of the factors for all customers appropriately recorded in our system. So we've dealt with that particular issue. But we're hoping there's other issues of this kind that this company can help identify for us.
And when was that taken care of?
I want to say it was sometime in late 2013, early 2014.
Okay. So this is something that's going to affect a lot of water customers.
The water utility currently has just under 8,000 customers. The vast majority of those are residential customers. I would not anticipate that this would involve, that they would locate even 10% of the customers who would have a billing problem. That would seem to me to be a very high number of billing problems. But we won't know until they go in and take a look.
So what kind of percentage do you feel like we can bring this down to? I mean, is
acceptable is 10%.
Okay.
That's generally a public service rule. And you know, you had wondered why this rolled up again. It's because the percent was 16.4. We were at 13.9. You know, prior, it's been fluctuating somewhat. And, good intents, but, the good intent is to try to find that 3.9 or that 5.3 or, those kind of percentages over 10. But, dollars translating, in terms of dollars lost, really with a big direction to this prior to the Public Service Commission. So there is, systems are recognized to have, I understand, but a loss is not uncommon.
I thought there might be a connection to when the new water meters were put in, when that change was made in 2011. And I do see somewhat of a drop, but then it's up again now in 2013. So.
And that's been a real concern.
Yeah.
Become a real concern for us. We had seen that trend too.
Action.
I'll make a motion to approve the contract with ISI Water Company for water loss study.
Second. It's a lot like kissing your sister. Go ahead. Second to that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Brandon.
Thank you, gentlemen. Authorization directing staff to receive bids for lining of approximately 350 linear feet of sanitary sewer on West Forest Home. This was to Mr. Rotzenberg. Can't get out of here that easy. This is a water expense, a sewer expense. Are we clear on the financing of this, Mr. Rotzenberg? I'm sorry, it's a little inside baseball.
Oh. Apologize, Mr. Mayor, for being tardy here. The sewer fund 2014 budget anticipated $150,000 of expenditures for this type of activity. The budget was amended earlier this year to include a further $30,000 for the South 76th Street project. To date, the utility has spent just over $116,000, leaving available $63,000 of available expenditures. While we don't yet know the cost of the work that is to be done here. I think the action item before you indicates that a budget amendment may be required if a contract comes in that would use up or require funding greater than what is in the currently approved budget.
We have the ability to make up a possible $27,000 based on...
The sewer utility has available fund balance that could be used, and there may be savings in other expenditures that haven't been, won't be required in the current year, but it's, I don't know that at this point.
I'll make a motion to direct staff to advertise and receive bids for lining of approximately 350 lineal feet of sanitary sewer on West Forest Home Avenue.
Second.
Now, I don't disagree with that, but I do remind the council that we don't want to be in a position where we authorize bids, receive them, and then don't follow through. Alderwoman Mayor.
How was this found, that the joints were deteriorating?
In evaluation, literally pulling the manhole cover and evaluating, and this is a really a principal sanitary sewer that is a working sewer that adds to the complexity of this project.
So it was found through inspections.
By inspections, yes.
So what are the? I mean, if we can't come up
see,
with the money,
I thought you were done. I still haven't gotten this number. Okay, sorry.
If supposedly we can't come up with the money, how long can this project be held up?
Well, it could be speculated on what staff is saying. You know, field operations guys, that this pipe is in a precarious position condition. It could collapse. In which case would highly escalate the price because it would be done in an emergency situation. This will be done in a controlled situation, although somewhat pricey. Still, the way to do it is to take action at this point and not wait on a potential collapse. We don't know when that would occur, but it's like finding out the tires on your car, how long are you going to ride on them? Same kind of thing here. How long are you going to take a chance on this? There's a lot at stake here if this collapses, any portion of it collapses.
How much of the, where does the sewer lead?
It's receiving flow from a force main, the St. Martin's lift station. And there's an acidic discharge that's occurring in the deterioration of the pipe. The pipe has to be relined to restabilize it. It's collapsing the joints and just the cementitious aspect of this pipe. The sulfuric acid that's making the contact is taking away from the cement. It's this first section will give us this, that first 350 feet is what we're keying on.
How old is it?
Pardon?
How old is the...
Yeah, I don't have an exact age. It's significant. 50 years old of that age. It's not a new pipe by any means. It's been receiving flow from a previous lift station, and now it's been rebuilt years back. 50 years, let's say,
okay.
Of that age. That's.
I know that Mr. Laverta has been itching to say something all night. Mr. Laverta.
No, I'll just point out that in next year's budget, they also have $150,000 budgeted for these types of projects, for these rehabilitations. So if you end up getting the bid in, having to do it, and use some budget modification yet this year, that will just bring your year-end fund balance down a little lower. Then when you get into next year, you just recognize you've already spent some of that appropriation. And so you can finish next year the same just by being cautious by what rehabilitations you approve next year. So, but since you're so close to the end of the year, you have the ability to do a budget modification this year and realize you can be right on track next year and monitor the amount of spending next year.
Action regarding the
center? There was already a motion.
We have a motion.
Yeah, I made a motion.
Well, I'll be dipped. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G8, a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement with Milwaukee County, installation of optical traffic signal preemption at 76th and Imperial, 76th and Pute, and 76th and West Drexel. This is a continuation, frankly, of a happenstance that I came upon whereby we can do an 80-20 split to make this happen and get this started in the community. This dovetails on to the fire chief finding something less than $5,000 and getting this installed on our fire, our paramedic rigs, which they tell me at this beginning dinner that some of you missed.
I was there.
That it's very successful and it's helping their transport patients out of Wound Well.
I want a fish tank.
Did you?
Good
man.
My third fish tank.
Sounds fishy to me.
Quit putting your tickets.
Well, I just wanted to note that it says the city will install this, and I saw, okay, it's our cost. The county will bill us to maintain it, and the county will bill us for all repairs. So this is a county road, right? Okay, I just go back to what you told me to go fix the county about College Avenue and the sidewalk. So here's a go fix it issue for you there.
Yeah. I'm right with you, but it is what it is.
That's what I said about college.
I'm seeing a wagon here across the floor.
Move to approve.
Oh, thank you.
I'll second it.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We move to item G10, resolution authorizing officials to execute an engineering services agreement with Grafe for relay of a water main at West Scepter Circle and Scepter Court. Alderman Mayer.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Any discussion, city attorney?
Asking that be... Asking that the contract be subject to including a provision for payment or no earlier than 2015.
Alderman Mayor, is that your motion?
Agreed.
Alderman Denner?
Aye.
Oh, Alderman Schmidt, sorry. Let the record reflect up and down was nodded. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Ordinance to establish placement of stop signs on South 37th Place at West Madison. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Acknowledgement of a city attorney request for a potential conflict of interest signature. Is there a motion regarding this matter?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That brings us to the end of the general items, licenses and permits. Item H, Alderman Dandrea.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the following recommendations from the license committee for... I'm going to hold off the rock till the end. I'm going to go Quinn Applin, hold for the next meeting, November 3rd. Operator new, Ryan Longworth, approved. Alice Sherrock, approved. Dominique Serino, approved. A temporary Class B beer license for St. Martin's of Tours Church Halloween party and dance. And a temporary entertainment and amusement license for St. Martin's of Tours Parish School Halloween party and dance approved. Now we've got a special.
Do you want to act on those first?
Yes, let's act on those.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. First item on these, Mr. Alderman Dandrea.
First item on the from the licensing committee is a progress report on the extraordinary entertainment and amusement license for the Rock Sports Complex.
We met with the licensing committee, did have an opportunity to meet with the proprietors of the Rock Sports Complex to address issues and to review the number of complaints that have been coming in. And we evaluated it along with the police department. They were in on this meeting as well. And we've determined that they're following the ordinance, and we're going to make an amendment to the hours of operation. And so Ms. Wilhelm has a motion in regards to the hours of operation, just to clarify what was somewhat gray originally.
Before that, I just want for the record to note that the Rock asked for this meeting in addition to some conversation with members of the License Committee to have this meeting. So they came in voluntarily. And so Alderwoman Wilhelm.
That's correct.
The License Committee recommended, and it was passed on a 2-3 vote, to allow a 1 a.m. shutdown for the safe movement of customers who are sold tickets by the 11 p.m. Ticket cutoff time.
And I second that, but let's clarify, it wasn't a 2-3 vote, it was a 2-1 vote.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There were more people in the committee tonight.
2-1.
Correct. Discussion?
2-3.
Alderman Dan, Alderman Mayor.
How does that change things?
Before they were saying everybody has to be out, shut down, everything cleaned up at midnight, and what was happening was they were having a hard time getting the people, they agreed to cut off ticket sales at 11 o'clock, and then what would happen, something came up, but one time they had someone who had a health issue that they had to hold everything up, and then they were delayed on getting the people through, so rather than have it, they have to shut their whole business down and give ticket price back, we're allowing them that they have to shut down the event and the ticket sales at 11, like they said, but then for safe movement of people, they would allow some flexibility up until no later than 1 rather than midnight, and that's it, and you're done. That's kind of what's...
And were the noise complaints addressed, the 2?
Yes, they were.
They were, okay.
Alderman Dandridge.
Real quick before Alderman Evans. It takes about 40 minutes to go through the whole event, and so they limit it in the numbers of people that go through. So, and they've got it classified, and so they'll call a letter, and that group then goes through the event. So, they are taking a lot of precautions where they're not stampeding people through the event to where they would get hurt. And they've also got a lot of people. They've got security that they've invested and they put through to make sure this event is safe.
Alderwoman Evans.
I just want to make it clear that when we first approved this event license, that the comments that came with that from Inspector Hahn, I also had the comments for that too, were that our ordinance said that these events are supposed to shut down at 11 o'clock. And Inspector Hahn made that clear. And we're already giving them until midnight to shut down. So now we're going to make an exception to go to 1 o'clock if we have to. I think doing so just can create more noise for the neighbors and more noise in the parking lots. And that's why I'm not in favor of doing this, even if it will be on occasion. Some of the complaints that we had, which they have addressed, were breaking down the event after it's closed. And that they were playing music and things like that. They said they have addressed that. So hopefully they'll continue doing that. But I know it's a business, but other businesses cut their lines off. And if something happens, an extraordinary event happens that for safety, then you close. If something happens, you close your business. You say, I'm sorry, we have to close tonight. We had an emergency. And if it isn't going to happen a lot, having a safety issue,
then I don't see why we have to do this, because it could be taken advantage of.
Alderman Dandridge.
It was agreed that they recommended this, that they would shut off ticket sales depending on the crowd between 10 and 11. And then they would filter through the people, and they would, it would be open till, the understanding was, is it was somewhere in a range of midnight. And we've expanded that. We're being flexible. We're trying to be a good steward with both, and they are making accommodations also to help. And so with the noise that you guys have probably all been hearing, they've worked on it, and they've made some recommendations, and they're going to evaluate the so-called bass sound that comes from the subwoofers. In regards to the high-pitched noises, the police have been out there. They monitor it. They have no problems. There's no ordinance issues with a decibel read. Okay. You know, sometimes you're going to get a high-pitched scream from an attendant. That's just a sign of a good event. Okay. But as Ms. Evans had stated, yes, there were things that were going on when they were doing cleanup and they were playing music after hours. Yes, they will curtail that.
Motion on the floor. All those in, Mr. City Attorney.
Only that I have seen nothing on paper in regard to this item. Did receive a call circa Thursday or Friday from Inspector Hahn. I understood that whatever time was involved here was not per ordinance, it was per permit. Because if this were per ordinance, this is not how you amend an ordinance. So if it's in the court is shaking.
She's just telling you to hurry up. She wants to get you
that
home.
That is correct.
Madam Clerk.
That is correct.
Thank you very much. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
No.
Roll call, please. Madam Clerk.
Alderman Mayer.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Evans.
No.
Alderman Will.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman
Dandridge. Aye.
Vote is 3-2. Motion carries. I gotta put my shoes back on, okay? It was 4-2. Motion carries. Item I-1. Is there a motion approving the net general checking account of city vouchers ranges 153976 through 154125, the amount of $936,642.82 dated October 6th?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Is there a motion to approve the net payroll dated October 17, 2014, the amount of $332,581.03, and payments of the various payroll deductions, the amount of $201,965.55 in matching payments?
There was a pause there. So moved.
Second.
I had to get the 3 cents in. All of, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman
Aye.
Alderman
Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
3 cents here, 3 cents there. Pretty soon we're talking real money. Is there a motion approving the net payroll of October 31st, estimated at $360,000, and payments of various payroll deductions, estimated at $385,000 plus any city matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. Is there a motion approving a property tax refund number 13295 in the amount of $111.84 dated October 15th?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Yes. Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
6-0. Motion carries.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.